The following Dharma talk was given by Lawrence Greco at the Interdependence Project in New York City. For more information, please visit openskyzen.com.
You think that's what the Buddhist view is unique in that we don't really recognize anything as being separate. So that's how intention works in this tradition. Which, you know, we can also refer to it as prayer. I was brought up Catholic, so prayer was a big part of my upbringing, my schooling. I went to Catholic school from kindergarten all through high school. And especially when I was younger, I grappled so much with prayer and how it worked, right? Hearing my mother or teacher say, well, God must have heard my prayers, meaning the situation I desired, you know, came to pass. Things are the way I want them. But then when the situation didn't come to pass, or conditions were less than pleasing, well then what do you curse God then? Whose fault is it? Right? I mean, some people would say, well, that's the devil. So then the devil's more powerful than the all-powerful God? So none of it made sense to me.
Yes, or you're not deserving enough.
Or right, or then
God didn't answer because you weren't good enough.
Right.
That's very painful.
Right, which is a real Catholic thing. So it became an exercise in self-flagellation, right? So, oh, I'm a sinner. God is punishing you. I've heard that a lot growing up. Right? So when we're talking about intention, and I'm fine using the word prayer. Thich Nhat Hanh uses it, I like to use it. But from a Buddhist standpoint, it means planting seeds within ourselves that reverberates somehow into the world. So if anyone honestly understood that everything is devoid of a separate nature, this basic tenet of Buddhism we talk about is emptiness or sunyata, it becomes impossible to conceive of a separate being or entity I can pray to make things happen here, because we're not separate. And the more you consider it and sit with it and talk about it and think about it and keep practicing with it, the more you see, oh, it's true, we're not disconnected. We are interrelated. We are interdependent. Absolutely. So whether we realize it or not, we always have some intention operating in the background of our mind somewhere. We're just not aware of what it is. So we're haphazardly intending all the time. When, like, you know, tonight's an opportunity to start considering the power of consciously intending. So what does it mean to really have a clear intention, not a rigid one, because we never know exactly how things are going to turn out. And sometimes, if everything turned out exactly the way we hoped it would, say, 10 years ago, may not be appropriate anymore. You know, I could think of, like, the way I wanted my life to be 10 years ago. If it were like that now, I'd be very unhappy. But at the time, it felt like that was going to do it for me. This is how life ought to be. So I'm glad that life didn't work out the way I thought it should have 10 years ago. That's not to say that we should be completely without aspiration, without some kind of loose goals, some intention, some direction, some motivation. So I think it's getting back to that middle approach, that middle pathway. Right? So having a clear intention, even if it's one just for your life, like sometimes you ask a person, like, what is your purpose in life? How many people could tell me? Do you know? Does anyone know? I think you don't have to tell me or raise your hand, but consider it. Patrick knows his purpose. But it's a very basic question, but most of us would answer, I don't know. Like, what's the point of your life? What motivates you? Because if you don't have an intention, then you're letting your karma drag you around. You're letting habit energy drag you around. And that just comes from really years and years of habitual thinking, thought patterns, and behaviors that gets, it's like planting seeds in this store consciousness. And then things keep sprouting and we wonder why, right? Like, I want to have more intimate relationships with friends and maybe romantic partners, and yet it doesn't seem to happen, and to take it a step further, I see myself engaging in behavior that alienates people. But that's completely at odds with what I say I want. Right? I want to connect with people, and yet I don't. It's like we want an apple tree, but we're planting orange seeds. That's what's going on. So a lot of this is just residual karma stuff. It's not, and karma is not some cosmic system of reward and punishment. It's just simply, you know, we do something, we think something, and then there's a result of that, and then something comes from that. And the more we do or think something, the more habitual it becomes, and the more we tend to get dragged around by it around the neck like a dog on a leash. So we don't want to have our karma dragging us around. Although for the most part, that's what we're doing a lot of the time without realizing it. So that's why this practice of meditation, it always comes back to meditation, is critical to understand what is my mind doing? How does my mind work? What are the underlying beliefs I have about this world, my life, myself? Because there's always something going on in this mind of ours, but we're not always aware of what it is. So this applies to when we're on the cushion or the chair, but even more importantly, it applies to noticing what our minds are doing when we're at work, when we're walking down the street, while we're waiting for the subway, because those are the times we just check out. And yet there are thoughts going on there. Sometimes we're getting carried away with them, or we're resenting them, right? Or we have our headphones on and we're listening to music, but the thoughts are still there as well, operating in the background, and that's fueling our behavior. So it's that simple. Nothing metaphysical or cosmic or kooky going on. It's just that something is always fueling our behavior, but we don't always know what. So to have an intention, to have a very clear intention, helps us to start a new pattern, a new way to be. It changes our karma, essentially. So karma, right? Karma happens. Shit happens, and so does karma. So that being the case, and I'm sorry, it's hard to argue with karma. I don't care. I don't think anyone can argue with karma if they understand what it means. It's not that complicated, I don't think. So since karma is a reality, why don't we learn to work with karma rather than have karma work us, when it usually does. So hopefully, tonight we're going to do two different kinds of exercises to help set an intention for the new year. And one will be an individual exercise and one will be a group exercise. But this is something you can do, it's just meant to drive the point home, this is something you can do at any point, at any time. It could be as huge as, boy, I intend to save all beings from suffering. But sometimes that's part of the bodhisattva vow, right? That sounds impossible, but if that's your aspiration, are you not planting seeds within yourself to maybe make that happen over time? Or to cause a chain of circumstances and conditions? Right? Not just in this life, but through other lives of other people you touch and come into contact with, that maybe, yes, you will help end the suffering of all people. Or it could be, my intention is to not spend 4 hours a day on my computer, maybe three. That's fine too. I think purpose is a more general term. So I like to think, you know, and this could change throughout our lives, but it's kind of nice to know what is your purpose in life, because when we don't know our purpose in life, then I think we flounder as far as what we do for a living. We settle for any kind of job, any kind of relationship, any kind of whatever. When we have some kind of purpose, even if it's a pretty general one, that's going to inspire a different kind of behavior, different choices, different outcomes. So I think they're related. Intention, to me, though, could be a lot more clear and specific. But again, it's a matter of semantics. But then intention is something we can learn to work with more consistently, more frequently. And it really matters.
Yeah. Yeah, it does really matter.
Jordan?
Purpose always has this dramatic energy, the word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like existential.
Yeah.
So It's very dramatic. And I think sometimes purpose can be very subtle.
You mean intention could be more subtle?
Or intention. Or both.
Purpose is more... Oh, okay.
But purpose, the word, is one of those words that just has so much...
It's charged.
Charge to me, for me.
You know, once I was watching, I think it was Oprah Winfrey or something, one of her shows from years ago, and she was talking to a woman who was just one of the happiest people she ever met, and she helped lots of people. And you know what she did for a living? But she was passionate about it. She gave facials. And she even said, my purpose is to, you know, clear the blemishes from people's skin. It just gave her great meaning in her life. And that was her purpose. But she was clear on it. And it sounds like, is that so important? But consider what else goes on. Like, what were the interactions she had with her colleagues, her coworkers, every client that she gave that much attention and care to? Doing what she did. So purpose doesn't, I'm glad you brought this up, purpose doesn't have to mean I'm going to cure cancer in 6 years. No, purpose can mean I'm going to write 2 paragraphs a day for this book I keep on putting off. Or I'm going to be the best bricklayer around. I'm going to, it could be anything. I think, too, what's important to keep in mind when it comes to intention setting is, first of all, have an intention that you're at least somewhat fired up about. I think it helps. Because basically, intention is the mental energy that drives our behavior. That was the definition I planned on giving half an hour ago. But very simply put, right, it's the mental energy that can drive our behavior. So depending on how much you care about something, I think that's going to contribute to what kind of commitment you have to it and what kind of action you're going to take. So the intention is all fine and good, but without any commitment and action, then it's just a good idea. So be very clear on maybe something that you really care about. It doesn't have to be like, oh, I intend to be more mindful this year. Okay, really? And if so, why? Because we're missing so much of our lives by not being present that everything seems like a drag because we're resisting our experience and always checking out and distracting ourselves. But then you look back a year and it's like, boy, that went by quickly. What do I have to show for it? So it matters, yeah? That's just an example, but your intention could be anything. So just make sure it's something you care about and maybe even be clear on, well, why bother having this as an intention? What would be the possible outcome? And would other people benefit, ultimately? Even if it benefits you initially, I would have to say the best intentions are always for others. Others are in mind. So one thing we're going to do first as a group is, there is a form or a method you could use to help maybe solidify your intention, to help memorize it. And there's something called a gata. Has anyone heard of a gata? It's spelled G-A-T-H-A, but the H is silent. So a gatha is like a style of verse or song. It has several purposes. So it could be meant to encapsulate a spiritual teaching. It could be made to devised to synthesize a part of a Buddhist sutra or a text. It could be used to open or close an event, like a formal ceremony, or something as simple as beginning or ending a meal, or entering a room. And often it's written, there is a certain structure of them, which I'll go over with you. They could rhyme, or they don't have to rhyme. And it could be easy to remember. It almost reminds me of like a witch's incantation. Right? They kind of rhyme, and they're very specific. They don't ever watch Bewitched. One of those great incantations they would come up with that were kind of, you know, rhymey, sometimes funny. So whatever it is that can work for you, you can make one up. So here's an example of some gathas and different purposes. This is called a morning gatha. Waking up this morning, I smile. 24 brand new hours are before me. May I live each moment mindfully, and may I look at all beings with eyes of compassion. So that could be something you could actually start your day with. You could have it written on your mirror somewhere, or posted like near your toothbrush holder. evening gods. I know this one's a little more intense, and there's more of an urgency about it, but it can also be very effective. This is a very well-known Zen one. Let me respectfully remind you, life and death are of supreme importance. Time swiftly passes by, and opportunity is lost. Each of us should strive to awaken. Awaken. Take heed. This night your days are diminished by one. Do not squander your life. Now that's quite a wake-up call.
Our founder loves that.
Yeah. He likes something like that?
Yes.
It's intense, but it's...
Take heed, do not squander your life.
Right. <Yeah. laughs> But we do. We take days for granted. We feel like, on some level, we kind of think we have an endless number of days before us, and we don't. And that's why we fuck around so much and waste time. Sorry. That's the words I say.
That's the modern gata.
That's the modern gata. Yeah, my gata is I can't even repeat to you. Someone will be offended or horrified or both. The repentance gata, this is a more fire and brimstone style gata. I like this one. All evil actions committed by me since time immemorial, stemming from greed, anger, and ignorance, arising from body, speech, and mind, I now repent having committed. As long as it doesn't turn to self-flagellation. But again, sometimes a little bit of remorse is not terrible for a person, right?
Regret.
A regret, you know.
Atonement.
Too much self-esteem all the time isn't good. Atonement, yeah. And here's one, a very simple one, for like even entering a room with some presence. Entering this room, I see the present moment. I bow to the room and breathe. I vow to enter with calmness and awareness. Now, I don't say that, but there have been times in my life where about a year ago, I had a very special trip where I ordained for a second and third time somewhere. And where I was staying, when I was done and leaving and all packed up and ready to go, I just spontaneously put my hands together and I just bowed. Just to kind of close the experience, to honor the experience, right? And as a transition for myself, a way to transition from that experience to the rest of my regular life and to take it with me with fresh eyes. Here's one, a dedication of merit gata. The merit gained through our Dharma activities we now dedicate to all beings for the alleviation of their suffering so that we and all sentient beings would be able to attain our Buddhahood together. And here's a mealtime gata. Grateful for the food before me, I hold close to my heart all those who hunger and thirst. Mindful of all I ingest and share with this world, may this nourishment enable me to be of benefit to all sentient beings. So you can have a gata for anything. It could be a general one for your life, for some aspect of your life, right? For the beginning of the day, or the ending of the day, the middle of the day. So we can be creative with this. So agree upon some kind of intention, some subject, something. Let's just say start with a basic intention, whether it applies to you all personally or not. You know, maybe share some ideas, mull it over a little bit. So you're going to start with an intention. If you all want, like even take a minute individually, just start jotting down on your piece of paper a few ideas for a gata, an intention. Well, the point is we're going to write a gata. I'm just trying to give it to you instead. Usually we start with the first line or two kind of sets the stage, right? It makes it clear what is this about. Maybe use words like, you know, may I, or just naming the situation or the current state. Then the next line or two, what ought to be done or what could be done about this, right? Like noticing my busy thinking mind, I pause for a moment to breathe. Noticing the cup of coffee before me. It could be that simple. It's one or two lines that do that. So the first line, name the issue. It sets the stage or declares the intention in a subtle or obvious way. Second, third, and or fourth line, what could be done about it? This is like the transition part of the gata. What do you want to do about that situation you would like to see transformed? Look at it that way. That's what the next few lines are for. Then the final line or two is the vow. It's the point of the gatha. It's maybe the outcome. So noticing my busy thinking mind, I bring my attention to the cup of piping hot coffee before me and smell the scents arising from its froth. And at the outcome, and find myself grounded and content and peaceful. Yeah, some method, whatever. But this is something you can do formally or informally, really, throughout the day. If it's a big intention or an ongoing intention, you could actually write it out. There's something about writing it out, right, and being clear that's really useful, I think. You're laying out the issue, how you might be able to transform it, and then what's it like when the intention comes to fruition.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about Lawrence Greco, please visit openskyzen.com.